I now want to ask you, as a guest, the question that we've been asking to our guest on this program. We started on Tuesday with former Congressman Michelle Bachmann, and I'm now going to ask you that same question, and that is this. If you were, and I'm going to ask you now, speak to Americans, speak to our listeners across the country, most of who probably would say they are Christians and probably evangelical, certainly probably most all conservatives, but many of whom are saying, you know what, I really think the most principled position is I can't vote for anybody at the top of the presidential ticket. I may go vote for others, but I'm going to leave that one blank. I'm going to put that into God's hands. I'm going to walk by faith. And that's how many of them are thinking about it. George, in this thinking process, could I ask you in the next 3 to 5 minutes, I'm not going to interrupt you, let's talk to the people of America and say to them why and how their thought processes ought to go relative to voting or not voting for the top of the ticket here in a week from now.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. And so let me do this as one believer to another. This is not a professional pollster talking to you. This is a guy who's devoting his life to trying to follow Christ, trying to understand God's word and to obey it. Because I believe that as believers is our primary purpose for being here on earth, is to love God with all our heart and soul, mind and strength. And the way that we do that partly is by understanding and obeying God's word. Now, when you read his word, my interpretation of it is that he has called us to be involved in the world, not to buy into everything it has to offer, but to be involved in the world and to influence it. We're not supposed to be victims of the world. We're supposed to guide it and lead it according to God's principles. So we've got to understand that in this election, somebody's going to be elected. We may not like any of the options that we have, but we're privileged to have the opportunity to vote for somebody. And keep in mind that whoever wins is only going to serve because God's going to allow them to serve. So I would say, you know, in this time, it's imperative that you vote, that you influence the world by what you do. Whether you like both candidates, either candidates, neither of the candidates, it's immaterial. You have an obligation to vote. You want to participate through abstinence, do that sexually, not politically. You have to have a long-term impact on this culture through any means that you can. Now, think of it this way. If you choose not to vote, you are essentially surrendering the right to complain about anything that happens for at least the next 4 years, and probably for a lot longer than that. And what that means is that you've got to realize when your taxes go sky high, don't you utter any complaint. When you see our nation expand its lead globally and how many babies are murdered in the womb of the mother, you can't complain. You can't say that there's anything wrong with that because you chose not to participate in who's going to be presiding over our country. When you see boys and men going into the locker room of your middle school or high school age daughter, you have no right to complain, because you chose not to participate. You're going to watch our borders open up, possibly, and people from all kinds of countries with very different objectives for the future of the United States, sometimes to kill as many Americans as possible, sometimes to subvert the balance of the country. Many of them are going to go on welfare, which will again change the tenor of the nation, not just in terms of your tax bite, but also in terms of how people think about what life is and what a great country is. You have no reason to complain. I mean, you think about, gosh, the nation defending itself. I mean, there are huge choices on the ballot this time in terms of the defense posture that the United States will assume based on who gets elected. And so if we elect the candidate who's saying that we're going to shrink the military, we're not going to fund the military at such rates as we are now, we're not going to upgrade the technology, we're not going to have the same war capacity, we're not going to have the same defense capacity. You know what? When Russia or China or anybody else threatens us or comes after us and we can't defend ourselves, you be quiet, because you did not vote to defend the country. You look at the same kind of argument related to terrorism. You look at business. If you're a small business owner, you work in a large business, understand that hiring practices, wage practices, are more likely to be determined by the government than by that business if one of the candidates is elected. And so if you want to run your own business, but you choose not to vote, you be quiet when they come and tell you you have to hire certain people. You have to pay them a certain amount of money. You have to give them certain benefits that your business cannot afford. You just have to be quiet because you chose not to participate. You look at healthcare. And what we've got are two distinctly different approaches to that. And so if we wind up with a candidate who says that we're going to upgrade Obamacare and, you know, it's going to be more costly, the government will be more heavily involved, you're going to have fewer choices, the quality of care is likely to go down, you don't like that? Too bad. You're going to have to be quiet because you chose not to participate in the election. This is a critical time for those of us who love Christ. He did not ask us to put our head in the sand and say, this is too confusing or it's too ugly. I don't want to be involved. His death on the cross was ugly. He needed people to be involved. Everything about our faith is a challenge to the world system. Get used to it. We have to stand up for what we believe. And now is a critical time.